want to turn our attention this evening to the scriptures. We do not want to waste any more time with announcements. We turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this is the Passover. We sung about it. It was the final plague God brought upon Egypt. Pharaoh had no choice but to submit to the God of heaven, the true God. And isn't it sad for some people that God have to take drastic measures before we can obey him? Isn't it sad? God at times has to take drastic measures to get his way. And sometimes it may be death, the death of a child, the death of a spouse, the death of someone before he gets our attention. But he will get our attention if he needs our attention. You shouldn't wait until God takes drastic measures in your life, in the life of the church, or anywhere else before you listen. Because he will get your attention if he needs your attention. All the firstborn in Egypt were killed, but none of the Israelites saw death in their dwellings. Israel marched out of Egypt across the Red Sea on dry ground. It's a clear picture of the judgment of God upon the known world on the last day. People don't really believe that there's a judgment coming, you know. They don't believe it. Not the way they live. And many Christians don't believe that there's a judgment there. They don't. Because if they do, they would honor God with all their hearts, all their might. It will be the end of this world's existence. The Passover marked the beginning of a new year in the Jewish calendar. And if you is an atheist, what are you going to do with this? It marked a new year in the Jewish calendar. I don't know if you ever thought of that, Louise. Yes, it did. The new year in Jewish history is a picture of the transition period between time and eternity for the Lord's people. The Passover is vital. Exodus 12 is a very long chapter. So I will survey this chapter on the four observations this evening. And I will do it quickly. One is the ordinance instituted, verses 1 to 11. If you're studying it yourself, I'm giving you some help to do it. And that way, some of us that are aspiring to be preachers can see how to break the Bible in strands to teach it the Bible. Brother Eddie, I know you're going home. And if you want to do a Bible study, you break it up in parts and explain it that the people that you're speaking to can follow you and understand you. Don't make it difficult. Under these heads that is offered, I will only be giving attention to selected verses so that we can get the significance of the ordinance. The Passover was instituted by God, not man. Verse 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. That's the text, Louise, that I consider. It began a new year, a new era. The sovereign God sets the calendar. He changes times and seasons. We have daylight savings time in our country here, but only God can change times. He changed the movement of the moon and the sun. Those instruments is what measure time. When time comes to an end, Jesus said the stars will fall from heaven and the moon would not give its light. Time is no more. Passover was instituted by God, my friend. The Passover is a type of what happened at the cross. The cross and the death of Christ divides two time eras. It separates the old dispensation from the new dispensation. It is from the cross a new year began, the year of grace we live in. And that's why Jesus, when he opened up the book, says he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that acceptable year goes from the cross to judgment day. You understand, Sister Elmira? God sees it as a year. And that's to show you, Brother Curtis, one day when the Lord is like 1,000 years, God is not measured by time. He doesn't get old like me and you and get sick. And God has done that. He sets the time. And there's nothing more to expect in this world, brethren. The cross marked the beginning of a new year. And when that year is ended, when the last of God's elect is saved, and God chooses to end the world, he is in control of that. So we see that is set forward before us, a beautiful picture. We are living in the day of the Lord. When our Passover lamb was slain, it started a new era, and we should give thanks to God for this. In the institution of the ordinance, a lamb was to be selected for a household, 3 and 4. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now you know very significantly, when Jesus marched into Jerusalem on the 10th day before the Passover, when he marched in, he was selected by God for Calvary on the 10th day. 4 days later, he will be arrested. He fulfilled this to the letter. You just trace it and see how precise, as Brother Debo was saying this morning, he's correct, how meticulous God is in fulfilling his plan in everything he does. It says in verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Now, in those days, the neighbor next door, he never had such a thing as my neighbor don't speak to me. My neighbor don't speak to me, so I can't get no lamb from next door. I got to go 4 blocks down. You know how it is today. People are so evil that you and your neighbor don't get along. Not so in that camp that was set up with those tents. The neighbor had to agree with one another because they were under one law, under one God. But this is just by way of observation. The Bible says where there were households, obviously there were heads of households. And this is another lesson for us, especially men. Where there are households, there are heads. And God zeroed in on the heads of the households to be responsible for the lamb. And some of us men need to take responsibility in headship. God always looked to men for leadership. Not boys, men here in Egypt. Command was given to heads of household. Today we have women taking the place of the man, working and bringing in the money, and the man living high off the hog. Shame, shame, shame. Refusing to be head of household. Don't think I'm going to let any of these words pass by. I'm going to make applications straight down the line that you ought to be doing. Where there are households, there were heads. The blood of the slain lamb was to be applied on the doorposts and the lintel of the Israelites' dwelling places. It is clear that this was also symbolic of the Lord Jesus. He's the door. He's the one that God looks upon when he comes in wrath upon this world. He looks at the door. Nothing of the sacrifice was to remain until the next day. God knew the presumption of the human heart. He warned them, let nothing remain the next day. Because some people would have gone out the next day and worshiped the dead animal. And God knew what he was saying. You know the presumption, how quickly we can twist worship into something that we like. God is wise. So we see the ordinance instituted 1 to 11. We would not go down any further. We would be here all night. But of course, I like your lamb should be without blemish of the first year. And it says you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. It's very significant that the Lord Jesus was, his life went in the evening. As a matter of fact, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the evening, God made sure that the Lord breathed his last breath. Just as he said in the evening. And Isaac Watts so beautifully said these words. I read it to you. Isaac Watts. You don't have to turn when he's talking about God made sure it was evening because he blackened the sun from 12 to 3. He made sure it was evening to reflect the spiritual state of Israel and the church. The blackest day in history. And Isaac Watts said it beautiful. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. And notice Isaac Watt used the pronoun his. He understood the his is Christ. These men, Curtis, knew the spiritual meaning of Scripture. It is only today that men are failing to exegete the Scripture. And shut his glories in. When Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creatures sing. Isaac Watts, beautiful hymn with the gospel. Second thing, the ordinance memorialize, 12 to 17, verse 12. This day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now, anytime you read that something has to be kept forever, it means that that ordinance finds fulfillment in Christ. Nothing goes on forever. But when Christ suffered, this Passover ceased to exist. If the Jews continue to do it, They're idolaters. They're not worshipers. From Egypt until AD 33, when Christ was crucified, the Passover was to be memorialized. But Israel failed to keep the Passover because of unfaithfulness. Now this ordinance, if you was to go through the Bible, you will see that it was interrupted several times. They couldn't keep it. Like for instance, when they were in captivity for 70 years, they couldn't keep the Passover. As a matter of fact, just when Josiah brought Reformation, he reintroduced the Passover. And sometimes you may wonder, what about the communion? Somebody asked me about it. You should think of why we suspended the communion. You should think of it. You should think seriously about that. Why we are waiting. We don't want to dishonor God with people coming to church when they want, how they want, disappearing and saying anything. We have to pull back. We have to look at ourselves as believers, as a body of believers. All of us, I too, have to look at ourselves. What are we doing? Disrespecting the church, disrespecting the pastor. All of these things we need to look at. Well, who dare you expect me to serve you a table when you gain no respect for me? We need to consider these things, brethren. We've touched on head of households. They're head of households. They're head of this household here. This church, the household of God. We're not reading our Bibles carefully. The ordinance was to be memorialized. As I said, from Egypt until AD 33, when the Lord was crucified, the Passover was memorialized. Israel couldn't keep it because of sin. After the death of Solomon, Israel became divided. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the name songs alike. But Jeroboam decided to change the ordinance to another date. Out of his mind, you knew that, Brother Colin, right? Yes. You knew that, Nigel? You didn't know. Read the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 11 through 14. Jeroboam decided, I'm going to change the feast day and move it from the 14th day to another month. Too far for you to come, Judah. Too far. I'll put a god in Dan and a god in Beersheba. These are your gods. Got that from Aaron. Golden calves. Close to the lamb. Gold calves, but not the lamb. Several times. It was only after the sweeping reformation by Josiah, the Bible says that there was never such a Passover in Josiah, King Josiah, favorite king, my favorite king, brought reformation. God repeated this in verse 17 of Exodus 12. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Feast of unleavened bread coincided with the feast of Passover. No yeast was to be found in the houses of the children of Israel. Now you know that yeast was a picture of sin. It's a reminder of the Lord's Passover that we celebrate, that we sang about tonight, the Christian Passover. No one is sinless by any open practice of willful disobedience or to deter people from celebrating the ordinance of the communion. And some of the things I mentioned may be trivial, but these are things that reflect the attitude of the worshiper that we should consider. Today, the New Testament counterpart to this ordinance is seriously abused. They have people that have mass communion, play it past the children, everybody walk in, play it past them, and then you see them go puffing their cigarettes. What is it? What has it become now in the church? Is this the kind of ordinance you want to celebrate? With no supervision, and anybody marching in, and this person isn't even living for the Lord, taking the communion anyway. It's abuse. brethren. Paul said, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. These are the words the Apostle Paul used in the celebration of the New Testament Passover. These words should show the sacredness of the ordinance that we celebrate today. We never have a perfect one, but at least it should be set apart. So we have covered two things about the Passover. We saw it was instituted by God. We saw it was to be memorialized throughout Israel's generation. Third, we see the ordinance applied, verses 21 through 28. Again, I can only highlight a couple verses to make my point. There's so much redundancy in the information that we can only highlight. Then Moses 21 called for the elders of Israel. You see who Moses called again? He didn't call Theophilus and Tyler. Or he didn't call Nathaniel and Enoch and tell them, I want you to bring the plates up. I want you to. He didn't do that. And it is terrible how these things are treated in the church. And by the way, we don't call children to do elders' responsibility in the church. They don't have that respect to do it. And they shouldn't trifle with things in the church, your children. Moses called the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. This was a serious thing. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel, two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. Just as the Lord prescribed, you can go out. Moses applied, and the elders applied this blood. The elders were to make the application of the ordinance of the Passover. No one was to go out the door. It's similar to what the two spies said to Rahab. It is the same principle. Hang the scarlet thread, don't leave home, don't come out. The Hebrews was to stay indoors. Anyone out of the door would become a risk in losing their lives. And this is true. If you are outside the door, if you are outside of Christ, you are a risk factor when Christ comes back. A serious risk factor. You should think about these words carefully. Again and again and again, you see the gospel. And you see the need for salvation. And you see the clarity of God's word. I don't have to force anything. It's there. This bears application. Today, many think that to be outside of the grace of God is a good place to be. Today, many continue to make light of the gospel. They have remained outside the kingdom of God, the door. We should consider this word, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. The destroyer is God himself who comes to smite. We see the fourth thing, the ordinance executed. Or ordinance applied, ordinance executed. Came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. God himself executed the ordinance at midnight. Death hits people where it hurts. No matter how old people are, we visited a funeral earlier on today, after between services. And I think the lady was 91 years old that passed. As old as people are, people that die, people still breaking down crying. I mean, good grief. The person lived 3 decades more than what God allotted to them. But yet, the awful grief of breaking down crying, having lived an extended life. I was telling Brother Colin, your parents have reached, and maybe they're hearing, or maybe your brother and sister is hearing, your parents have reached a great milestone in their 90s, and they should give thanks to God. And if they're not in any way converted people, they should be exercised in seeking the salvation of God. And we should pray for the older ones. Brother Depo's mom, I asked him for his mom today. And sometimes we don't mention them in the list, but it doesn't mean that we should not publicly remember these people. But the Lord executed this ordinance. Death hits people where it hurts. Death is the wages of sin. Pharaoh did not understand what was meant by the other 9 plagues. But here he understood the seriousness of a hardened heart. Death. Death angel came to his house. Even in his house, he had one day. Exodus 12:30. Pharaoh rose up in the night, still in the dark, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. This is serious. Every house in Egypt had a corpse. Not one was dead in the land of Goshen. God put a difference between his people, the people of Israel, the people of Egypt. Secular history, Josephus, remember this tragic event. Hear what we read in Exodus 12:31-33. I read. He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up, get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they say, "We be all dead men." They understood that God wasn't playing. Why do we have to go to that length? Jehovah, God, executed the Passover himself. He instituted it. He commanded that the Hebrews memorialize it. The elders were to apply it, Passover blood, on the doorposts in the land. But God executed his plan. We are to preach Christ. We are to preach him. But God will execute his judgment in time to come. Preach. Be faithful. Do like Moses. Follow the directives. You and I don't execute judgment. God does. Having seen the institution in Egypt, we now move from typology and shadows to reality, the new covenant. We return attention to 1 Peter chapter 1, of course. All that we read in Exodus 12 finds fulfillment in the Lord Jesus. He's a lamb without blemish. Those lambs were only figures of the Lamb, the true Lamb. Peter says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Before Adam and Eve sinned, God had marked out Jesus to suffer. That's why Adam and Eve and Abel could be saved, because they look forward to the coming Lamb. He's only saved one there. That's why Abraham could be saved, because he looked that the Lamb would come. And that's why he offered his son, because he felt that God was able to raise him from the dead. And by the way, a lot of talk is going on about cremation. I've said my piece already, and I think I'm done with that. If Christians want to defy God's word and do that, let them go ahead. You can't change it. Everything in the Bible shows me different. And yet, men in the pulpit think that they are more wise than God. And I may fellowship with you. I may even ask you to preach here. I can't preach here by myself. No man is an island. But I'm very careful of some of my Reformed brethren. And I want them to know that. Because you preach doesn't mean that I agree with everything you do. And our church, as I said, is very gullible to see a strange preacher come in here and take off with doctrines and go ahead gravitating to that person. You better be careful who you're licking up to. And I issue a warning, because I know I might leave and go away. In Egypt, a lamb was selected and its blood was applied by the head of household of every Hebrew family. If it was too small, the neighbor would join in. Today, every true child of God has a head of household. Hebrews tell us this: "For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end?" I don't know how so many Christians, or how so many lay claim to the Christian faith and have no claim to a household. I'm speaking about a church, a local church. I don't know how they do it. I don't know what they're reading. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You got that verse, Brother Bennett? You saw it? You read it? Mark it. We do good to the household of faith when we love one another. And that, I mentioned that nursery with the ladies, that really is an expression of love for your brethren. You want Sandrine to hear the message. You want Amula to hear the sermon. So what you do is you sacrifice hearing it, that she can hear it. And that's why you shouldn't murmur about it if you gotta go twice. That is love applied, brethren. As head of household, Christ is the one who applies the blood of the covenant upon those who are his. Just as those elders apply the blood on the door, Christ applies the blood on his household. Where do you come in? I could guess you going to a basin, taking up blood, sprinkling it upon the doorpost. In your presumption, a works gospel. That's what it is. You tampering with blood of animals because you want it on your house and would not allow the appropriate person to apply the blood. You see how presumptuous men have become with the gospel? Telling people what they can do to be saved is sickening. Today we may be ceremonially baptized, but the substance of baptism is only when one becomes a child of God. It is Christ who obeyed the law perfectly, as I was saying this morning. Every year, from 12 years old, Jesus went to the Passover with his parents. My father, 1 year, he was left behind. He was so engaged that they come along leaving. In the Gospel of Mark 14, the last one, he sent his disciples to inquire of the place to eat the Passover. Mark 14, 12. I'm going from typology to reality. Quickly. First day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" You see who he's saying? He didn't send Nathaniel and Enoch. And he sent forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, "Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, 'The master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?'" You see who partake in the Passover? I hope you see it. We should mark these words. Jesus celebrated the last Passover with his disciples, where he introduced the New Testament ordinance of the Lord's table. It was there, as he was celebrating that he said, he took bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my blood, this is my body, which is broken for you." It should remind us that this ordinance is not for everyone to celebrate, neither is it an ordinance to be trifled with. And I try to coincide the two because we're looking at the possibility of returning to the ordinance. But I'm trying to get these things out of the way first. We had ample time to think. We have ample time to prepare. We are to be attached to a local body of true believers called the household. However, one of those disciples turned out to be a lost soul. Now, if the perfect Son of God can knowingly have Judas in the body of disciples, if he can knowingly, as a matter of fact, Judas got up and went out in a huff and betrayed the Lord. In a huff. But if the perfect Savior can knowingly have Judas in the body, what do you and I think today? There will never be a perfect, pure congregation on earth. But it shouldn't stop us from beseeching the Lord for his grace. It shouldn't stop us. I'm not perfect. It shouldn't stop me. It shouldn't stop you from beseeching the Lord for mercy. where you see many shortcomings, it shouldn't stop you. Whenever the New Testament ordinance is administered, it is a time for self-examination. When the Bible says, so let every man examine himself, it is a call to make sure that you are right with God. And it's a call for you to confess your sins against God, against His church. It's a time to do that whenever the table is passed. And stop sweeping it under the rug. Paul is clear. Let every man examine himself. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. It's a time for self-examination and not necessarily for celebration. We should start preparing to remember our Lord. The church should not be held hostage by a few people that are unfaithful. We shouldn't be held hostage by those few unfaithful people. So think about what I'm saying and pray about it and prepare for it. Today we do not remember the Passover anymore as the Jews did. It finds fulfillment in the Lord Jesus. But in due time, the Lord will execute judgment on those who do not have the blood of the Lamb applied to their hearts. I don't have X-ray vision. I can only preach, I can only share, I can only exhort. But I too have to look at myself. Because the Bible says, take heed of thyself and the doctrine. For in so doing, thou wilt save thyself and them that hear you. And by the way, this is a call to anyone that stands to preach. You better take heed of yourself. Because in doing so, you will save yourself first. And the ones that hear you. If you're not saved yourself, nobody ain't gonna hear you. In due time, judgment will come on those who don't have the blood applied. I trust that the Lord has shed his blood for me and that he has washed me from my sins and that he will keep washing me day by day. And we read in Revelation, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. We have an accuser. The law. The law accuses us of sin. All the time we've broken the law. Satan is the head that bring that up. You sure that you are worthy? Cast down that accused the brethren day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Now this have been a brief look, brethren, this evening. My time is up at the Passover and its implications today in the New Covenant, or as Hebrews 10, 22 and 23 says in concluding, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I was saying this morning, not at the pool, but the gospel. Let us hold fast the profession, the confession. Let us be true in our confession of faith without wavering, for he's faithful, that promise. May God bless you this evening. Passover and its implications. Let's pray. The psalmist says, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord. Indeed, your dwelling place is lovely because we hear good news. Christ, our Passover lamb, shed his blood for our sins. We bow and ask for help even this week, living our lives pleasing to our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.